The reading this morning is taken from the Gospel of Luke, starting at chapter 18. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, "In a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, 'Grant me justice against my adversary.' For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, 'Even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice, and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?'" This is the word of the Lord.
Prepared in advance, but we've got Jo to preach for us on a great week because we haven't celebrated with Jo since she was selected for ordination training. Jo is 1 week into training to be a vicar in the Church of England. So let's give her a big round of applause as we celebrate that.
Thank you. Good morning. Yes, as Tom said, I've done a week of vicar school. And it was great, and it was amazing and overwhelming and fantastic, and it taught me a lot, but it's really lovely to be back here with you at Emmanuel this morning, and it's also really lovely to have the privilege of preaching about this parable, the parable of the persistent widow from Luke's Gospel. The last in our summer series, and we've looked during August at how Jesus used these stories, these parables, to help us to hear and understand his message. And today we have the chance to dig into what I think is both very encouraging and both very challenging amongst Jesus' parables. So let's pray to begin. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time together here this morning. We thank you that you've gathered us here from many different places. Whether we're here every week, whether we've come specially for the baptisms today, whether we've travelled from much further away, even as far as Bolivia, we thank you that you have brought us together to hear your word. And I pray that my words will give you all the glory this morning as you open our hearts to what you want to say to each one of us today and to help us to trust you more deeply. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm going to start with a question. Is there something that you have prayed for, something you prayed for so long that you've almost stopped expecting an answer? Maybe you haven't totally given up. You might mention it in your prayers from time to time, but if you're honest with yourself, you've stopped really believing that anything's going to change. Might be something to do with your family circumstances. Perhaps it's a difficult, challenging relationship. Perhaps it's a health concern that just won't go away. Perhaps it's someone you've been praying for many years would come to faith. And many of us have been using the Pray for Five cards over the last few years, where you write five people's names on a card and you pray for them, you commit to pray for them every single day. And perhaps you've faithfully prayed for these same five people, day after day, month after month, for the last couple of years, and nothing seems to be happening. And they don't seem interested if you invite them to church. They don't want to talk about your faith or Jesus or anything, and it just seems pointless. Or maybe it's a work situation that's gone on for years and hasn't been resolved, and that's been the case, certainly. And there's been times when I've really cried out to God repeatedly about a difficult situation in the workplace, and I've asked him to intervene and asked him to change things, and I've asked him to find a way forward, and nothing seemed to happen. I think, if we're honest, most of us know what it's like to wait, don't we? And to wonder and to question whether anyone is really listening. And I think this question is at the heart of the parable of the persistent widow. And in fact, it's actually very striking that Luke tells us the point of the parable before Jesus even begins speaking. Luke writes, the very beginning, Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. I think sometimes with Jesus' parables, we can spend a little while trying to work out exactly what he meant. Maybe that's just me. But not this one. We get the headline at the very beginning. Always pray and do not give up. Sounds straightforward, doesn't it? But it's also interesting to note that at the very end of the passage, Jesus doesn't just round off the story neatly, but he asks a profound question. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? And Jesus is referring to himself here, the Son of Man, and to his future return. So if the beginning of the passage was the headline, I think this question at the end is the heartbeat of the passage. How do we keep faith and trust in God when we can't yet see what he's doing? When answers seem delayed. And how do we remain faithful while we wait? And I noticed as we celebrated the baptisms earlier, something that spoke to me about this passage. As Tom spoke the baptism liturgy, so the words of the service, we're reminded that today we're trusting God for Sophie's and for Samuel's growth in faith. Their parents, their godparents, and us, the church family, have committed to help them grow in faith and follow Jesus. We can't know exactly, none of us know exactly how God's promises will unfold in their lives. But as we wait to find out, we trust him and we trust that God's promises are true. Similarly, Andrew and Lisa and their family are continuing to trust God and depend on him fully as they serve him in Bolivia. Trusting God when they possibly can't see the way forward, when things are really difficult. And for all of us, trusting God when we can't see everything clearly is at the centre of our Christian life, and it's right at the centre of the parable. So as we look more into the parable this morning, I'd like us to explore two things we're going to look at. Firstly, the God who is not like the judge in the parable, and secondly, the faith that God's looking for. So firstly, the God who's not like the judge. So this story centres on a widow who repeatedly approaches a judge with a very simple request. Grant me justice against my adversary. In this time, in Jesus' day, judges dealt with both civil disputes, so an argument between two people, or criminal disputes as well. So if somebody had done something very wrong to you, then the same judge would just decide who was in the right. And the judge alone was responsible. They decided what was right. They ensured justice was done between the two parties. So, sounds simple, but there's a big problem here, isn't there? This judge is absolutely dreadful. He is awful. Jesus describes him as a man who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. So a bad man, basically, a bad judge. He's got no reverence for God. He's got no concern for the people. He's got no what we would call a moral compass, you know, a feeling that you need to do what's right. He's not interested in doing what's right, frankly. He's got no accountability. It's just down to him. There's not some board or jury that he has to go to. He does what he wants, and what he wants is not normally the right thing from what we can see in this parable. So a vulnerable person like the widow may come to him expecting very little help because he just doesn't care. And widows are vulnerable in this society. In the ancient world, the widows were often the poorest and most exposed members of society. After the death of their husband, they probably lacked any financial security. They didn't have any social standing. They didn't have anyone to speak up on their behalf. So a widow is right at the bottom of society's ladder. So you couldn't blame her for just giving up, just thinking everything is hopeless. But this widow, as we can see, she refuses to give up. She keeps coming. She keeps coming every day. She asks for justice. You can sort of almost imagine this judge's groans. Every day she's knocking on the door, give me justice, give me justice. You can imagine him going, oh no, not her again. Oh, that widow. Why can't she just give up? And eventually he's driven absolutely mad by this situation. He can't deal with it anymore. And so he gives in. Because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me. It's not like it's not like he's suddenly decided this is the right thing to do. He's like, oh, I'm going to have to give in because otherwise she's going to come and, I don't know, put a brick through my window or something. It's some very sort of completely giving up. So at the first glance, it can sound as if Jesus is saying, just keep pestering God and he'll finally give in. He'll finally give in if you just keep going on about it. But that isn't the point at all. Jesus is actually using a common form of argument here that moves from the lesser, the judge, to the greater God. If even this corrupt, reluctant, immoral judge eventually responds, how much more is our loving and righteous God going to respond to his people? How much more? How much better? How different? And as Jesus goes on to say, will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? The lesson here is not that persistence is eventually going to soften God's heart. The lesson is that persistence flows from our confidence in God's heart. The widow had no reason to trust the judge, but we have every reason to trust God. God is not reluctant. God is not indifferent to us. God is not irritated by our prayers. In fact, God loves our prayers. God is not bored of hearing about our pray for five people on our little cards. God is not waiting for us to wear him down or drive him mad. And how do we know that? How do we know that we can trust God in that way? Because before we ever prayed, before we started praying, God had already acted. Before we asked for mercy, he gave mercy. And before we sought him, he came seeking us in Jesus. So I found myself thinking a lot recently about another parable, that of the prodigal son. It's something I've studied during this week. I'm just going to call it vicar school. Before the son reaches the father runs to meet him, if we remember in the parable of the prodigal son. And that's what God's like. The Christian story is not ultimately about us reaching up to God. It's about God reaching down to us. I saw a live illustration of this when we were praying before the service. Ellie and David were there with the little Elijah. Elijah was standing by the table and his water beaker thing was on the table. And he was reaching and reaching and reaching, but he couldn't reach it. And of course, I can't remember which one of you it was, either David or Ellie, gave him the drink. And that's like an illustration of how we don't have to reach up for God. We can't reach up, but God reaches down to us. And how did he do that? Well, Jesus entered our world. God reached down and Jesus lived the life we couldn't live. And he died the death we deserved. Because of our sin, because of our distance from God, he died for us. And then he rose again so that we could be welcomed into relationship with God. The cross is God's great declaration that he's not like the unwilling judge who's got to be persuaded to care. He's actually a loving father who moved towards us at the greatest possible cost to himself. And something that's really important to understand today, whether you're new or here for the 100th time, is that being a Christian and following Jesus is not primarily about what we do for God. It begins with what God has already done for us in Jesus Christ. The reason we pray, the reason Christians pray, is not because we're trying to persuade a reluctant God to listen. We pray because through Jesus, we've already been welcomed into God's presence. So we know that he loves us. We know that he hears us. And we know that he cares. And sometimes that delay can feel like silence, but God's silence is not God's absence. So moving to the end of the parable, to think about the faith that God is looking for. And as Jesus reaches the end of telling this parable, he turns the focus away from God's faithfulness and onto our faithfulness. And he asks in the final verse, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? So the question is not whether God will be faithful. Jesus has already made that clear. We know this. The question is, will we remain faithful? And the widow, she's not merely an example of persistent prayer, she's an example of persistent faith. She keeps coming because she has faith. She believes that the justice will eventually come. She keeps asking because she believes it's worth asking. She keeps turning up because she's not stopped trusting that things will change, that her pleas will be heard. And that, of course, is Jesus' challenge to us. I think the context of this, when we're thinking about this aspect of the parable, the context around it in Luke's gospel really matters. Immediately before this passage, in the second bit of chapter 17, Jesus has been teaching about his future return. He's been talking to his disciples about when he will return in the future and the coming kingdom of God. And he's preparing his disciples for what's going to lie ahead. And he talks really strongly that there'll be hardship, there'll be confusion, there'll be suffering, there'll be persecution. All of that is there in the future. And that certainly proved true for those first disciples. And it's also true for us, because we're still living in that time between Jesus' first coming on this earth and the return in the future. We're living in the waiting time. And we look around our world and we can see and we know that it's a place of suffering, uncertainty, brokenness, despair, a place where sometimes our prayers don't seem to be answered. But Jesus gives the disciples a clear instruction for the difficult times he's just been speaking about. Keep praying, keep trusting, keep believing, don't give up. And that same challenge is coming to us today, isn't it? Will we continue trusting when life becomes difficult? Will we keep praying when answers seem delayed? Will we remain faithful when the world around us encourages us to go another way? And that can be very, very hard, can't it? I'm sure most of us have experienced seasons when God felt really distant, really far away. And I certainly have. And a few years ago during the pandemic, I was really low. There were times I couldn't really see what God was doing. He felt very, very far from me. And in the years that followed, there were prayers that seemed unanswered, questions that seemed to hang in the air. I just didn't know where God was taking me. But looking back now, I can see so clearly that God was working in ways I just couldn't see at the time. What felt like the silence then was actually a preparation for what I'm doing now in following God's call. And what felt like absence was actually a sort of a hidden faithfulness. I just couldn't see it at the time, but now I know it was there. Of course, that's not going to answer every question you might have about suffering and unanswered prayer. And Christians have wrestled with those difficult questions for centuries. And if there are questions like that you're carrying today, please do come and speak to one of us after the service. There's people to pray with you. We'd love to listen. We'd love to pray with you. We'd love to walk alongside you. So don't let those questions be buried. There are lots of people here who would love to pray and just walk with you in whatever you're going through. But this parable points us beyond all those questions to something deeper. Trust God. Keep coming, keep praying, keep believing. Because God's silence is not God's absence. And in this time of waiting, ultimately our model from this parable is not simply the widow. Our model is Jesus himself. And as the letter to the Hebrews says, let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. When Jesus faced rejection, suffering, the cross, he continued to trust his Father. When the road led through Gethsemane, Calvary, he stayed faithful. And because Jesus remained faithful, even to death on a cross, we know the victory has already been won through his resurrection that reconciles us to the God who loves us. And that is why we do not lose heart. Not because life is easy, not because every prayer is answered exactly as we want, but because Jesus is risen, Jesus reigns, and Jesus is faithful. So let me return to the question we started with. Is there something you've been praying for so long that you stopped expecting an answer? Jesus' encouragement today to you is simple. Don't mistake delay for absence. God's silence is not God's absence. Keep praying, keep trusting, keep bringing your needs to the Father who's already shown his love for you through the cross of Christ. So whether you follow Jesus for decades, whether you're exploring faith for the first time, the invitation is the same. Keep coming to him, keep trusting to him, keep looking to him. And when the Son of Man comes, may he find faith here. May he find faith in our church, faith in our homes, faith in our hearts, and faith in all our lives. So as we come to a close, I'm going to lead you into a time where we can think about how this might impact on our lives today and what God might be wanting to say to us this morning. So if you're able, let's stand together as the band comes back up. And let's take a short moment together. Perhaps there is something that's immediately come to mind this morning. Perhaps there's a prayer you've stopped expecting God to answer. So bring it to him again now. Bring him that prayer. Perhaps today you're full of faith and gratitude and things are going well and you feel close to God. Thank God for that and ask him to help you keep going. Perhaps you feel weary. Perhaps you feel discouraged. Perhaps you feel disappointed. So remember, God's not like the unjust judge. Keep bringing your prayers to him. Or perhaps you're wondering whether God really is there at all. The God who heard the widow is the God who hears you. He loves you. And through Jesus Christ, he invites you into a relationship with him. So let's just wait on the Holy Spirit for a moment and listen to what God wants to say to us today. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that we've had this time together. We thank you that you're here with us today. We thank you that you are faithful, that we can trust you, that your love is never ending and your grace flows down like rivers. We thank you, we praise you, We bring our prayers to you now. Thank you, Father, for all your blessings. And we lift our prayers to you in Jesus' name. Amen.